That. Amen. I like the old country preacher said, that'll crank your tractor. Amen. That'll put some fuel in your tank right there. Preacher, we're not for emotionalism. I don't know why not. Amen. Emotions are good. Just don't let them drive. Amen. Emotions are good. Praise the Lord. If you're saved in the grace of God, you know how you made it. That's right. It's God's amazing grace, brethren. Amen. It's all because of grace.
Amen.
Grace, grace, God's grace.
Amen.
Wonderful grace of Jesus. Well, I want to talk to you about Jesus this morning. He's the most wonderful person I know.
Amen.
His name is above every name.
Amen.
And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
And every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. Of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We've been talking about what saith the Scriptures. What saith the Scripture about the Scripture? Today I want to talk to you about what saith the Scripture about the Savior. What does the Bible say about Jesus? Well, it says a lot about Jesus. And there's no way in the next 30, 40, 45 minutes I'm going to be able to tell you all that the Bible says about Jesus. I don't know if I had really 45 years I could tell you all that there is to tell about Jesus. But I want to try to these verses of Scripture to tell you some things I think will be a blessing to you and a help to you about our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah here writing, the prophet Isaiah writing a prophecy about the Lord Jesus in a time that, well, when God would send His Son to this earth. And I want to talk to you about some things that I find in these verses of Scripture that I believe will be a help and a blessing to you. So let's look at them. Let's get right into them. The first couple of points, I have just three points. The first two points, I'm just going to kind of maybe highlight them. And there's a third point that I want to get to, and that's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the mystery of the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of mystery to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the majesty of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to talk about those two in more detail in future messages. I'm interested in getting to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look just for a moment at the mystery. The mystery of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Think about that for a moment. God was manifest in the flesh. I wrote down something that I read because it really stuck out to me. It's not something that's going to teach you anything. It's just going to bring to your remembrance what a remarkable thing that is. God was manifest in the flesh. God, somehow, as only God could do, was able to translate deity into humanity without discarding deity. Great is the mystery of godliness. God became a man. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. The God of heaven became a man. Isn't that something? You know, we hear it so often, and if we're not careful, we'll just kind of let it go by. That is amazing.
Amen.
God became a man. Not just that He would become a man. He did. God became a man. Notice how Isaiah said it took place in verse number 6. He said, for unto us a child is born. This is the humanity of Jesus. What saith the Scripture about Jesus Christ? It says He was a man. 100% man. Now listen, don't get confused. Jesus was not 50% God and 50% man. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. You're not supposed to. God, nowhere it says you need to understand that. Just believe it. Accept it. By faith, latch hold of it. Take hold of this great truth. God became a man. And the Bible says, for unto us a child was born. You know, you say, well, Jesus was born like we were born? Well, in some way, biologically, yes. Yes. He was born with a human nature. He took on the seed of Abraham. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2. He did not take on the nature of angels. He took on the nature of man. But yet he was different. Why? Because when you were conceived, when I was conceived, we were conceived in sin with a fallen nature. But Jesus had a perfect nature. And though he was like us, and though he was tempted as we were in all points, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. Isn't that something? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. For unto us a child was born. But then look at the next verse, section of that verse in verse number 6. Not only to us a child was born, that's to humanity, but it says, unto us a son is given. Now this speaks of the deity of Christ. See, the Son was given before he was born. You say, what? Yes, Jesus is eternal. Before the foundation of the world, Christ died. Listen, God gave him for the propitiation of our sin. In the mind of God, Calvary was already a foregone conclusion. Jesus was going to the cross. Amen. That is just, you say, I can't wrap my mind around it. Just take it into your heart. Take it into your heart by faith and understand that Jesus is different than anyone that's ever lived upon in this world or walked upon the face of this earth. Jesus, the God-man, the mediator, the propitiation, the advocate. Jesus, our substitute, our sacrifice, our redeemer, brethren. Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. How we praise the name of Jesus. I'm glad that the scripture tells us about this Jesus. A child is born. You know, when I thought of this, I thought that this child that we learned the birth of in Luke chapter 2 is the same creator of Genesis chapter 1. The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Jesus walked this earth that he made. It's just, I can't get my mind around it. But I don't know that I even need to. We've got people trying to figure out things that really God never intended to be figured out. You either believe that God created the heaven and the earth or you don't. You either believe that by faith that Jesus was born of a virgin. Actually, you say, well, how could, in verse number 6, a child be born and a son be given? Well, Isaiah, if you'll go back in chapter 7, he talked about that. In verse number 14, he said it's through the virgin birth. See, we, as Bible believers, we believe what thus saith the Scripture. What's the Scripture say? That a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, the scripture says this, Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know that is God with us. And so there's this mystery of how that God made himself a man and came in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and yet without sin. Walked upon this earth and did miracles, taught wonderful truths, died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and thank God he rose again the third day. The God-man, the mystery of Jesus. So there's the child that was born, there's the son that was given. There's a lot more to the mystery of Christ, a lot more. And we'll pick up on that another time. I want you to look to the second. Look in verse number 6, the latter part of verse number 6 and chapter number 9. Chapter 9, verse number 6, the scripture says this. Isaiah prophesying again. I'm sorry, verse number 7. Well, right in the middle of verse 6, it makes a mention of the majesty. It says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, brethren, again, you either believe that or you don't. You say, well, it doesn't look like the government's on Jesus' shoulder now, preacher. It's not. But don't mistake that he's not in control. God is sovereign. You see, one day Jesus is going to take over. He's going to take the reins of this earth. The Bible says in verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order in and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And I like this last phrase, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. In other words, God is not only a jealous God, God is a zealous God, and God is going to see to it that everything that he's prophesied and everything that he's promised is coming to pass. Amen. Everything that God says is going to happen. Amen. Everything. And so one day there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to sit on the throne of his father David. The Bible has a lot to say about it. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. The kingdom when Jesus shall sit on the throne of his father David and shall rule and reign with a rod of iron. You see, Jesus is more than just our Redeemer. And that's what the first part of verse number 6 speaks about. And I thank God that he's our Redeemer. But he's not only Redeemer, brethren. He is going to rule and he's going to reign. He's a ruler. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. See, one day, we all talking about going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. But there's something else that we need to remember. Before we go into heaven for the age of ages, we're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Can you imagine in your mind a time where there's going to be justice? Say, preacher, will that ever be on this earth? Well, it's not now. The law is slacked. It's like the teeth of the law have been pulled. But one day, Jesus is going to install teeth back into the law. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron, with righteousness and judgment. That time's coming. Can you imagine in your mind a time without disease? No war? Can you? Can you imagine that time? Where there'll be peace? Not peace treaties, peace. That's the kingdom that I speak to you about. The kingdom of Jesus Christ upon this earth. If you'll turn to chapter number 11, I'll just whet your appetite a little bit about this 1,000-year reign. You can also read in Revelation chapter 20, 6 times. In Revelation chapter 20, we have the phrase 1,000-year or 1,000-year reign. Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years, brethren, upon this earth. I'm going to be there. Amen. If you're saved, you're going to be there. There'll be others there that'll pass right over and from the tribulation right on into the millennial reign. It's real, brethren.
Amen.
It's real. And I'm going to show you here in just a moment how that God said it's going to happen. So notice this, if you would. I'm in chapter number 11. Look at verse number 4. I'm in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. In other words, Jesus is going to take care of business. All right? We got some folks up in Washington who do not know how to take care of business. Jesus is going to take care of business. He's going to rule the way it needs to be ruled. He's going to reign the way it needs to be reigned. What saith the Scripture about Jesus? He's a ruler. Amen. He's the King of kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of lords.
Amen.
And he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. And if you look in verse number 16 of chapter 11, there is a hint that there's going to be a road that leads to Jerusalem where all we who were saved and all those that get saved in the millennial kingdom can march on that road to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory.
Amen.
In person, brethren. In person.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in verse number 6 of chapter 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. You say, preacher, that's impossible. No, it's not. It's going to happen. It's coming to pass.
Amen.
In the kingdom. I'm talking about the majesty where the curse will be lifted, brethren. Yes. The whole world, Romans 8, is groaning and travailing to be delivered from the curse. And thank God one day Jesus is going to lift that curse.
Amen.
Because the government's going to be upon his shoulder.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because he's able.
Amen.
He's strong that way. He's sovereign that way.
Amen.
Scripture also says in verse number 7, the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The fierceness of the animal kingdom is going to be pulled back. It's going to be different than what we know it. Thank God for the earth and all that's therein. Jesus, listen, made it all with the word of his mouth. He created it all. But we're going to see the way that he intended it to be.
Amen.
Right here. The majesty. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, that cockatrice, I don't even have time to go into that. That's a very interesting creature. Some people say, well, it's a snake. I don't know. I think you might ought to study it out a little more. It's something. God's going to allow where the children can play. The venom and the poison and the danger of these things are going to be removed. I'm talking to you about a time where there's going to be no sorrow and sickness is going to, listen, it's going to be greatly reduced. No pain, no war. Peace, righteousness, justice, the way God intended it to be in the kingdom. That time's coming for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be bound during this time. Read Revelation 20. It's recorded there. Isaiah said in verse number 9, he said, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. No violence. Isn't that something? We live in such a world of violence. It's almost like we've become numb and desensitized to it. You hear about somebody getting killed or mauled or murdered or robbed, and it's almost like, well, I hate it happened, but that happens. I'm glad there's coming a day that that's not going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad there's coming a day where that's not going to be just another day in life. Look what else he said in verse number 9. It says, not only shall there be no hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. My, what a time that's going to be, brethren. I'm glad that we can learn from the Scripture that this time's coming. I'm glad that the Bible rolls back the curtain and lets us look into a time where there's going to be a kingdom upon this earth. I'm not talking about heaven. In a way, I am. Heaven on earth. I'm talking about the kingdom. It's coming to this earth. Jesus is going to usher it in. Amen. His majesty is going to bring it to pass. So there's mystery in this God-man, Jesus Christ. There's none like him, brethren. None like him. And then there's majesty. One day he's going to sit on the throne, and we're going to be able to go worship him. Going to go to town to worship Jesus. He's going to sit on the throne of his father, David, in the city of Jerusalem. I believe Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. And I believe all the inhabitants of the earth that desire can go there to worship Jesus. You say, preacher, is that some fairy tale? Oh, no. No, this is what saith the Scripture.
Amen.
I'm not coming to you from Disney.
Right.
Are you listening? This is not one of those fairy fantasy tales. It's not Aesop fables. This is reality from the Word of God.
Amen.
This Jesus that we have come here to worship, this Jesus that has saved us from our sin, this Jesus that's made all the difference in our life, one day we're going to see him face to face. And we're going to worship him and give him the glory that's due his name. Does the Bible teach that? 1 John 3:2, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall know him as he is. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's real. I want to get to that third part as we go back to and close out of Isaiah chapter 9. Now, I've got five things that I want to give you on this final third part. And I hope you'll write them down or at least take them into your heart and allow it to minister to you, because that's what we're going to talk about. The ministry. Well, he's the God-man. There's no one else like him. He's not 90% God and 10% man. He is 100% God and 100% man. The mystery of godliness. God became a man. You know, this is something I want you to think about. Listen, I grew up, and I didn't know what was going on, really. I heard these hippies, you know, I'd see them and I'd hear, you know, God is dead. Remember that? God is dead. God is dead. The God is dead movement. How many of you remember the God is dead movement? God is dead. Well, they were on to a little something, right? God died. God died. I want you to think about that with me. In him is life. He is the very essence of life. Without God, there'd be no life. And yet God died. That's the only way we could get to him. It's the only way. God became a man. And God died. But I sure do thank God he didn't stay dead.
Amen.
See, that God is dead movement missed something. God did die. But thank God he came back alive, amen. And he's alive forevermore. That's right. God did die. But unlike that God is dead movement, they left something very important out. God came back alive. And because he came back alive, you and I will resurrect who are saved in his grace, in his likeness. See, I'm glad the Bible teaches these things. I'm glad the scripture is not silent on this, and we don't have to worry or wonder, well, what about me, and what about the hereafter, and what about my sin, and what about my position before God? No, God's taking care of every bit of that, brethren. He has written it down in this book, and we can know what our future holds. We can know where our sins are. I thank God they're buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness.
Amen.
Buried. Removed as far as the east is from the west. You see.
Amen.
We have great favor with God through Jesus Christ. Great favor with God through Christ. Let's talk about his ministry a little bit. I want you to notice, are you back in chapter number 9, verse number 6? There's some very interesting things here. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the mystery of Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, the majesty of Jesus, and his name, not names, his name. There's not one adjective that can appropriately define or describe who Jesus is. And so the Spirit of God told Isaiah, well, just pin these down. Amen. Just pin these down. This will get us started. We're talking about what saith the Scripture about the Savior, about Jesus. I know if you were to ask the History Channel, they would, oh my goodness. Listen, they would give you all kinds of hodgepodge. If you ask a liberal theologian, he'd take you around. You'd just be like the children of Israel, just going around and around in circles, right? You ask folks who are unregenerate. You ask the unregenerate man, and he'll tell you, well, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a good person. Jesus was a historical figure. Can I tell you that when all that is said and done, that Jesus is the Son of the living God? That's who Jesus is, and so much more. The Bible says here that his name shall be called Wonderful. You know what the word wonderful means? You say, I know how it feels. I know what wonderful feels like. You know what it means? It means that people just stand back. Remember when Jesus on the bow of the ship and the disciples went to him and said, Master, care us not that we perish. And he got up and he went to the bow of the ship and he said, Peace, be still. And everything just became calm. And the Bible says that they wondered at him in amazement. It means that they were all stricken. It means they actually went on to say it, we've never seen anything like this before. Can I tell you, you've never seen anyone like Jesus. You've never experienced anyone like Jesus. And Isaiah said, there's coming this one. There's coming this child. There's coming this son. There's coming this God in the flesh. Never seen anything like him. His name shall be called Wonderful. He just strikes awe. Can I tell you, I stand in awe. The more I know about Jesus, the more I stand in awe of him. I stand in awe not only of what he's done or what he's doing, but who he is. wonderful. Wonderful means amazement. You know why? Life without Jesus is dull. It is. I want to just go down through these and give you some words that Jesus can bring to your life. And then we'll go back and look at the meaning and then we'll end it. Bring this message to a close. What do you need? What kind of ministry do you need today? You say, preacher, I have a lot of needs. Jesus is the answer to every one of them. Amen. He truly is. And that's what Isaiah, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is trying to teach us here. Number one, his name should be called Wonderful, which means he will add flair, awesomeness, purpose, excitement to life. Life without Jesus is dull at its best. Amen. So I'll go and I'll experience all kinds of things and you'll never be satisfied. I'll experience this and I'll go here and I'll do this and you'll never be fulfilled in your life. But when you come to this one whose name is Wonderful, he brings purpose and fulfillment to life. He changes the dullness of life. Number two, his name shall be called Counselor. Counselor. He helps with the decisions of life. Aren't you glad that Jesus helps us in our decisions in life? Can I tell you, I need Jesus to help me with decisions? Amen. You need Jesus to help you with decisions? Amen. Say, I don't know, preacher. I don't get counsel from Jesus. Oh, you're messing up. Let me just go ahead and help you here some, okay? And I hope you'll take this in. It says a lot about you who you get your counsel from. Eve got some bad counsel one day, and look where we are. Adam got involved and had group therapy, and here we are. Are you listening? You'd really need to be careful who you get your counsel from. There's all kinds of counselors out there, but there's no counselor like this counselor. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 119 that thy testimonies are my counsel. Psalm 73 speaks of the psalmist saying, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. Get counsel from him and he shall direct thy paths. You getting your counsel from the counselor? Where to go? What to do? How to live? How to act? Right? Counselor, decisions. It's what he's saying. That's his ministry. God helps me. God helps us to make good decisions. You know, life really is predicated on the decisions that we make. You are where you are because of the decisions that you've made in life. Get God to help you. He wants to be your counselor. You're either away from God because you haven't gotten his counsel, or you're near to God because you have. Who are you getting your counsel from? Who are you getting your counsel from? Not only is he wonderful and helps us with the dullness of life, not only is he counselor and helps us with the decisions of life, look at the third one there. He's the mighty God. You know what that word mighty God, some of you Marvel comic people and superhero people is going to like this. It's actually saying God is a superhero. He's a mighty God. There is absolutely no one that can defeat him. Amen. He is the mighty God. There's no one that can defeat him. So why are we being told this? Because life has difficulties. Life has difficulties. And so this is part of the ministry of this Christ. Say, preacher, I don't have any difficulties. Well, listen. I think that doesn't mean what you think it means. We all have difficulties. And Jesus is the mighty God that will help us with the difficulties of life. Now, that doesn't mean he always takes them away. Sometimes he's just our co-partner as we go through them. I'm glad that Jesus not only removes the storm, sometimes he'll walk with me through it. Amen. Jesus is not the one you call and he just removes the storm. Sometimes he'll just lock arms with us and walk right through the storm with us and give us peace in the middle of the storm. The mighty God. The mighty God speaks of the ministry of God helping us through the difficult places in life. Rather than life, at best, is going to have difficulties. And we need Jesus to help us. And that's what God is telling Isaiah. Tell them. Tell them that I'm sending one that's going to help them with the dullness of life. He's wonderful. With the decisions of life. He's counselor. With the difficulties of life. He's a mighty God. This is my favorite one. With the dimensions of life. He's the everlasting Father. I sure am glad that Jesus has added an eternal dimension to my life. See, my life was always spent looking back, regretting my sin, regretting my past. I'm glad I can look back now and know that I have been forgiven for that. Amen.
Amen.
And the penalty of sin has been removed. Yes. The everlasting Father. God adds an eternal dimension to our lives. The everlasting Father. The past. Aren't you glad for the present? God not only helps take care of our past by removing the penalty of sin, He helps us in that eternal dimension by helping us in the present. He helps us with the power of sin. Amen. And then the future. One day we're going to be removed from the very presence of sin. Isn't that right, brethren?
Amen.
We're leaving here. We're leaving here. And we're going to be removed from the very presence of sin. The everlasting Father. And then the Prince of Peace. What's that help us with? Look at it. Helps us with the dullness, decisions. Helps us with, as a mighty God, with the difficulties. The everlasting Father with the dimensions. And then the Prince of Peace. You ever get irritated? The disturbances of life. Worry. Fear. I'm glad God can give us peace. There can be storms raging all around us. There can be things that people are just, listen, on edge about. And God can give you peace right in the midst of all the things of those disturbances. You ever gone through a situation and said, you know, I should have really fallen apart. But somehow, I came through that like I just never dreamt I would come through that. That's because the Prince of Peace was with you. And He gave you His peace in that situation. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Brethren, this is just part of the ministry of Jesus in our life. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'll bring this to a close with talking about these steps that I believe that Isaiah is pointing to. I believe Wonderful points to His cradle. I do. His birth. It's amazing. The virgin birth is an amazing thing. You have to have God's faith to accept that. The natural mind will not accept the virgin birth of Jesus. I'm glad for the day that I was asked by the man who led me to Jesus if I believed that Jesus was born of a virgin without sin. I'd never really, as far as I know, I'd never, to that day in my life, I was 19 years old. I don't think I'd ever thought about that before. Just like that, God gave me the faith, and I said, yes, sir, I do. Now, had He asked me why, I would have not been able to tell Him why. God gave me the gift of faith to accept that Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen. The cradle. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now look at that next one. Counselor. I think that points toward not the cradle. I think that points to something else. I think it's counsel. I'm glad that when Jesus lived here on earth, He was constantly counseling people. He counseled the religious. The religious came to Him and said, hey, I'm a pretty good person. He said, you need to be born again. Right? He counseled the not so religious, right? The woman of the well, the Samaritan. He counseled the small and the great, the male and the female. Jesus will give you counsel in life. I'm thankful for that. The mighty God. You know what? I think that points toward His cross. Jesus hanging on the cross, the devil was probably thinking, victory! Victory! 3 days later, He realized, no, it's not victory.
Amen.
It's defeat.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I read a story, and I hope you'll go home and look this up. Napoleon Bonaparte, when I was in school, for some odd reason, I was fascinated with the battle strategies of Napoleon Bonaparte. And I recall that he was trying to regain power, emperor power of the world. And in a battle, when I think it was 1815, he went up against Napoleon, and the French army went up against the Duke of Wellington, the British Army. There were some others involved, but they met in a battle, the Battle of Waterloo. You ought to look this up sometime. So I remember that. Good. Then follow me. And they met in this battle, and I mean, there was a lot hinging on this battle. Probably world supremacy. All right? World supremacy. And what they had decided in the British sector is that, you know, when the silence of the war, when the guns and the bombs had ceased, that they would, through these lights and through these lamps, they would send this signal out of a church in Britain about the results of the war. The night of the war, there was a great fog that settled upon the battlefield there in Waterloo, which now I think is Belgium, if you do the demographics. After the bombs quit bursting and the guns quit firing, there was a lamp sign that went up that said, "Wellington defeated." But there was a heavy fog, and people was looking, and they thought, "Oh, Wellington defeated." And they were very saddened as they waited for bated breath to get the message, "Wellington defeated." And they thought, "Oh, no, we're under the iron fist of Bonaparte." But then the fog began to lift, and the message changed as it became more complete. Wellington defeated Napoleon. Changed everything. It's kind of like when Jesus was on the cross. Christ defeated. And all the imps of hell rejoiced, right? The foundations of hell said, "We've got man now. We still hold the keys to death and hell." But 3 days later, the message changed. Christ defeated Satan.
Amen.
And sin and death and hell. And now we can stand and rejoice.
Amen.
That we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The mighty God, brethren. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I know this. You can overcome through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I have a vice in my life. This flesh is trying to rear its ugly head, and I'm getting defeated. I'm like a boxer that's going down every round, and I feel like that I'm weary, and I'm getting ready to go down for the last time, and I won't be able to get up, preacher. I just feel weak. I need help. I need some ministry from Christ." Can I tell you, the mighty God will give you victory through Jesus Christ. The Spirit can overcome the flesh. The Spirit can overcome the flesh. Don't you let the enemy tell you any different. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Claim your victory. Stake your ground, brethren. Don't back up. Press on for Christ. We're in the army of the mighty God. This army that we're in is not some weak, dilapidated, setback army. Brethren, we're to march on as soldiers for the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our God has defeated sin and death. And because He has, we can too.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, I look around, I see so many that are defeated in their life, and it's almost like they have the spirit of discouragement, and they've given up. Rise up, Christians, and march on for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We serve the mighty God. The God that we serve is greater than a superhero.
Amen.
He's all powerful. Amen.
Amen.
The everlasting Father. And then the Prince of Peace. That speaks of His coming. Amen.
Amen.
One day Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says the zeal of the Lord in verse number 7, the latter part of it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts We'll perform this. I've done something I hope you'll do, and I'm going to read this. You can stand to your feet. As I was thinking, what saith the Scriptures about the Savior? Can I tell you that all that I am and all that I ever hope to be is because of Jesus?
Amen.
It's because of Jesus. I'm glad He loves me.
Amen.
I'm glad He loves us.
Yes, sir.
I began to think about the names, and I just want to share a few names of Jesus as our pianist comes. And would you play softly as I read these names? I just want you to think about all that Jesus is. Jesus is wonderful, brethren. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace and so much more. He's all that I need. He truly is. The longer I live, the more I realize Jesus is truly all that I need. Sometimes I think I need more or something outside of that, but the longer I live, the more I'm in this journey, the more I realize Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's called the last Adam. In 1 John chapter 2, he's called the Advocate. Revelation chapter 1, he's called the Almighty. Also in Revelation 1, he's called Alpha and Omega. Revelation 3, he's called Amen. Hebrews 3, he's the apostle of our profession. In Hebrews 12, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 5, he's the author of eternal salvation. In Revelation 3, he's the beginning of the creation of God. In Matthew 12, he's the beloved Son. In 1 Timothy 6, he's the blessed and only potentate. In Isaiah 4, he's the branch. In John 6, he's the bread of life. In Hebrews 2, he's the captain of our salvation. In 1 Peter 5, he's the chief shepherd. Luke chapter 9, he's the Christ, the God. Luke chapter 2, he's the consolation of Israel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he's the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. In Isaiah chapter 9, he's the counselor. In John chapter 1, he's the creator. Luke chapter 1, he's the day spring. Romans chapter 11, he's the deliverer. In Haggai chapter 2, he's the desire of the nations. In Isaiah chapter 6, he's the everlasting Father. In Revelation chapter 1, he's the faithful witness. Revelation 1, he's the first and the last, and also the first begotten of the dead. In Hebrews chapter 6, he's the forerunner. In Isaiah chapter 40, he's the glory of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, he's God. And in Romans chapter 9, he's the God blessed. In John chapter 10, he's the good shepherd. Matthew chapter 2, he's governor. Hebrews chapter 4, he's our great high priest. In Ephesians 1, he's the head of the church. In Hebrews 1, he's the heir of all things. In Acts chapter 4, he's the holy child. In Acts chapter 3, he's the holy one. In Mark chapter 1, he's the holy one of God. In Isaiah 41, he's the holy one of Israel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's the image of God. In Isaiah chapter 4, he's Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 26, he's Jehovah. Matthew chapter 1, he's Jesus. Matthew chapter 21, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Micah chapter 5, he's Judge of Israel. Acts chapter 7, the Just One. Zechariah chapter 9, King. 1 Timothy chapter 1, King of the Ages. Matthew chapter 2, King of the Jews. Revelation chapter 19, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 15, he's the King of Saints. In Isaiah chapter 33, he's the Lawgiver. Revelation chapter 13, he's the Lamb. John chapter 1, he's the Lamb of God. Isaiah 54, he's the leader and commander. John 14, he's the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 8, he's the light of the world. Acts chapter 10, he's the Lord of all. 1 Corinthians 2, he's the Lord of glory. 1 Timothy 6, he's the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah 23, he's the Lord of our righteousness. In Isaiah 53, he's the man of sorrows. 1 Timothy 2, mediator. Malachi 3, messenger of the covenant. Daniel chapter 9, Messiah. Isaiah 9, mighty God. Isaiah 60, mighty one. Revelation 22, morning star. Matthew 2, Nazarene. John chapter 1, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, the only begotten Son. In 1 Corinthians 5, he's our Passover. In Acts chapter 3, he's the Prince of Life. And Revelation 1, he's the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. Luke 24, he's Prophet. Job 19, Redeemer. John 11, resurrection and life. 1 Corinthians 10, he's a rock. Revelation 22 is the root of David. Song of Solomon 2 is the rose of Sharon. Luke chapter 2, he's Christ the Lord, our Savior. Genesis 3 is the seed of the woman. In 1 Peter 2, he's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Genesis 49, he's Shiloh. Mark 14, he's the son of the blessed. Matthew 1, he's the son of David. Matthew 2, he's the son of God. Luke 1, son of the highest. Malachi 4, the son of righteousness. John 1, the true light. John 15, the true vine. Revelation 19, the word of God. And so much more. He's everything you need in life. He's all you need. Have you given him your all? Have you claimed what he has given? Let's bow our heads together. The ministry of the Lord Jesus. The ministry of the Savior.